Four by four, as we continue to think about our four by four challenge and what goes on, let me remind you just a little bit. I realize we don't all get to be here every Sunday. Oh, that is a pastor's dream, of course, that everyone shows up every Sunday. Matter of fact, one of Valerie's pastors has, when she was a girl growing up, was still her pastor when we got married, pastor of that same church. We got married, I became her pastor shortly afterwards. He tells a story about when he was a seminary student, he was contacted by a three-quarter time church. Now, some of you are too young to even know what a part-time church was. Some of you know. But there were churches that they were called half-time churches because they only met two Sundays a month. But this was a three-quarter time church. That meant they met three Sundays a month. And as he had conversations with them, he asked why they did that, and they said, well, we're all going to miss one Sunday a month anyway, so we just all miss the same Sunday, and we just don't meet that week. And he wanted them to become a full-time church, and they didn't want to do that, and he declined to go be their pastor. So, see, it's every pastor's dream. Everybody would show up every Sunday, and then somebody reminded me, but Pastor, you're not here every Sunday either, and that is true. So, anyway, we're glad that you're here. We hope that you're here more often than you're not, but we're always glad that you're here. But just a reminder, as we think about our 4x4 challenge, the first I is to identify. You're going to identify four people. Four people in the area of influence of your life and in the area of influence of Emmanuel Baptist Church. We want you to think about four people that could eventually come to Emmanuel Baptist Church. You know, so if you've got a friend that lives in, southern Arizona, great, pray for them. Share the gospel with them, but let's put somebody else on your four, okay? Many of you are going to have more than four anyway, so you want to do that. We've got 4x4 cards. If you don't have one yet, there's some right out in the hallway, just outside the door. Pick one up before you leave today. And on the back are four blanks. You see, I've got mine filled in. And those folks that I'm praying for. Because you're going to intercede for them four times a week. See, I'm not even asking you to do it every day. Four times a week. You can put this on your bathroom mirror while you're, scraping your whiskers off, for those of you who do that. Or putting your war paint on, whichever one it is. You can have them up there, and you can pray for them. All right? Today, we get to invest. Invest. Let's think about invest for a moment. In finance, investment is putting money into an asset with the expectation of capital appreciation, with getting dividends and hopefully at least earning some interest. Most forms, though, of investment involve some risk. Most of them involve some risk at some level, because interest rates could go down. A variety of things can happen. You could end up having less than you have. And if you've got any money in the market, before 2008, you know what I'm talking about, because 2008, it got you in those things that happen. So when you invest, there's risk, but there can be reward. When we invest in people, it's the same thing. There's certainly a risk when it comes to investing in people, but there's also a potential for appreciation in a relationship, for growth of a friendship, for there to be a real relationship that exists and lasts for a long time. There's risk involved. It's true, whatever the relationship. There's risk when a church calls a pastor. Is he going to work out like we hope he's going to work out? His wife, he way outmarried himself, and his wife is lovely and wonderful, but what do we get for a pastor? Those are interesting things that happen. When I went to pastor the First Baptist Church of Grandview, Texas, there were three people that voted no. Now, I don't usually remember all that kind of stuff, but I happen to know because of this story. And when I got ready to leave, and God was ending our ministry there and sending us to Temple, any of you, anytime you've moved, there are some people you got to go tell face to face. And we had a couple that we needed needed to go talk to, and I went to talk to them, and it was they knew it was coming, but this was we really knew now that it was going to happen, and this couple I went to see them. Part of the reason I know there were three no votes is because of that conversation, because he asked me that day. He said, "Do you remember how many no votes there were when you came here to be our pastor?" I just kind of looked at him because I didn't remember. He said, "There were three, and two of them are in this room." Well, there were only three people in the room, and I didn't get to vote. But when it was time to leave, there were people I needed to go tell. It was really kind of a precious moment, actually, as a pastor, because of the friendship and the relationship that had been established. And to this day, if I needed to call him for something, I could. And even though he would grumble for 16 hours in the car as he drove up here, he would come. There's a risk when you are going to invest your life in somebody else's life. But there can also be great rewards for a relationship, and there can be rewards for the kingdom of God if you do so. When we invest in our friends, there's potential for them to become a friend of Jesus. When we invest in our friends, there's a potential for them to become a friend of Jesus. Our text today comes from the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. If you pick up a pew Bible, it's page 667. Luke 5, verses 27 to 32. Let's stand together to honor the reading of God's Word. After that, he went out and noticed a tax collector named Levi sitting in the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he left everything behind and got up and began to follow him. And Levi gave a big reception for him in his house, and there was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people who were reclining at the table with him. The Pharisees and their scribes began grumbling at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with these tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is the word of the Lord, and you may be seated. Thank you. When we follow Jesus, we invest. We invest in other people. Matthew is our example. We invest in our friends. Now, Matthew is a great example. Matthew is one who has been called by Jesus to follow Jesus. If you know Jesus, you've been invited by Jesus to follow Him and to follow Him closely, to do what Jesus does, to do what Jesus did as He gave us an example while He lived here on the earth, and the gospel writers have recorded those stories for us. And Matthew is a great example for us, and that discipleship, following Jesus, discipleship is a commitment to Jesus. And as that commitment to Jesus, it's a commitment to do what Jesus wants done. Well, so we look at this example of Matthew. Matthew is a tax collector. I forget exactly what the word was that my translation said. It said he gave a reception. Scratch that. He threw a party. He threw a party. He threw a party for his friends and Jesus. Now, at this point, Jesus is his friend, so we could just say he threw a party for his friends. But Jesus is there, because Matthew has given his life to follow Jesus. He's come to know Jesus. And he wants his friends to meet Jesus. And the best thing he knew to do was to throw a party and invite his friends and have Jesus there, and then they all get to meet. And they get to see how wonderful Jesus is. So, he does something to invest in his friends, people he's already known, people with whom perhaps he's already had a relationship, and so he wants to get them together. So it's called an investment in his friends and in that relationship that he has had with them. And so Levi uses something that he has. He has his own home. And he can have, it's his house, so he can have over whoever he wants to have. And he chooses to invite his friends. That the Pharisee says, you know, there's sinners and there's tax collectors. As if the tax collectors are even worse than just an average sinner. That's kind of how I read that. It's like, well, there's sinners and there's tax collectors. They've got to be worse. And every time you write a bill to the IRS, you may think the same thing. I don't know. But anyway, so that's kind of what's happening. And so he's doing this. We need to think about, how do we invest in our friends? How do we invest in your four? How do you invest in your four? And here's the challenge. Of course, it's going to involve a four, isn't it? Is that you would invest in them at least four times a year. And some of them, you may be able to do it a whole lot more often than that. But that you would find a way to invest in their lives at least four times a year. And yours, mine may be spinning at the moment. Stop. Because you may be thinking, what in the world do I have to do to invest in their lives? What does that mean? That sounds like it could be kind of big. No. Relax. Just chill out a minute. Let me give you some ideas. How do we invest in our friends? Can you read those? Are they big enough to read? I hope so. Have a cup of coffee together. Or you know, Janice, where are you? Have a cup of hot tea. Steve, I guess you'll have to have orange juice. Find the folks that don't drink coffee or even hot drinks or whatever. So, but the idea, do something like that together. Maybe take them a meal. There's something happened in their life that'd be helpful for them to have a meal. Somebody to help them out in that regard. Maybe you take them a Christmas gift. Now, don't. You're going, man, I have to spend enough money on Christmas as it is. Well, you're probably going to bake some goodies at your house. Take them some of those. Hey, I thought about you. I just wanted to share. We were making this. We love this at Christmas. You know, we have a, you know, I always hate it when I start talking about food before we go to lunch. But anyway, we have these things at our house we call Muddy Buddies. Some people call them Puppy Chow, but I don't want to eat what my dogs eat. We call them Muddy Buddies, and there's peanut butter and chocolate and powdered sugar involved. Ah, how can you not like that? Quite honestly, those don't go out the house very often. If you get some of those, then just be really thankful, because the reason is we all eat them and we don't want them to leave the house. It's kind of like when I was a kid and my mother made a chocolate sheet cake to die for. And she would make that and I was like, well, can we cut a piece out so I can have some before you take it to this party? No, because it would look bad if there's a piece cut out. I just cut the pieces, put them on a plate. Nobody will know there's one missing. She still wouldn't go for it. She didn't know Shorty. Anyway, Shorty was this great lady and had a wonderful friendship with her. And she brought us a dessert and there was a piece of cake missing. Because her husband always cut out a piece just to make sure it tasted okay. See, Mom, I was trying to help you all of these years. Okay, Christmas gift. Something like that. Send them a birthday card. You know, it's not... Go out to eat lunch together. I didn't say you had to buy. If you buy, that's okay. Go to lunch together. Go shopping. Here, I'm going to try to hit some stuff you like. You know, go shopping. Some of you are great shoppers. Maybe you can teach your friend how to be a good shopper, because some of you are frugal. Teach them that. If you got a hobby that you like to do, I know ladies that do creative memories stuff, or you want to go hunting together or fishing together. I can name a whole lot more of the guy stuff than I can the gal stuff. And I know some gals that would do that too. Maybe it's been involved in sports together. You're going to play on a softball team. You're going to go snow skiing together. Whatever it is, those kinds of things. Maybe you're going to attend an event together. There's something you like. There's a concert coming to town and you're like, hey, you know, that sounds kind of fun. We'll go to that together. Maybe you can help them with something. Maybe they need help doing some yard work. They've got family coming in, they need your help. You know, you're hearing them talk about, man, I've got my mother-in-law coming. Any of you in here can relate to that? My mother-in-law's coming and my house isn't clean or whatever. And you say, well, I'll come help you do those kinds of things. Go to a movie together. A crisis comes up in their life, their family. You talk with them about it. Do something tangible to help them. Pray for them. Share with them that you're going to pray for them. You've got a garden. Share produce from your garden. Share other things with them, perhaps. Just a variety of things along that way. Listen. You know, sometimes people just need somebody to listen to them. Invest in your friends. Invest in your friends. And as we talk about 4x4 and we keep emphasizing it over and over down the road, and you come up with some creative ways to invest in your friends, share them with others. Maybe you're sitting there this going, man, I got a great way. You know, and you know, some of you work in an office, you work with a group of people, you know, you can be the person that shows up with donuts occasionally. Why? Well, because I'm going to guess some of your four are at work. Okay, just those kinds of things, variety of things, ways that God gives you to invest in other people. Following Jesus means that we have friends who don't follow Jesus despite what you've been told. Any of you ever hear those messages? Be careful about all those people you hang around that don't follow Jesus because they might rub off on you. Some of you are at the point, now if they're rubbing off on you, we've got some other discipleship issues we need to talk about. But we've got to be able to be around those. Now, there's warnings in Scripture about hanging around sinners. Proverbs 24:1-2 says, don't envy bad people. Don't even want to be around them. All they think about is causing a disturbance. All they talk about is making trouble. So there is some wise words there from Proverbs and other places in Proverbs about how much you hang around people who don't follow Jesus, that are bad people, all of those kinds of things. Yes, heed those carefully. But too often our practice has been to separate ourselves from lost people. We don't socialize with them. Maybe that we live differently. We do different things with them. And so we're thinking, well, I got to stay away from them because I'm going to resist their behavior in the things that they do. Antisthenes, a writer from centuries ago, said, doctors associate with the sick, but they do not contract fevers. You can hang around these folks and not contract what they've got. So Jesus got criticized by the scribes and the Pharisees because he was hanging around sinners and tax collectors. And then probably wore it as a badge of honor. You might not want to be around whoever the Pharisees think you should be around. But Jesus hung out with these folks and shared a meal with them, and that was a part of the deal because, you know, in our day and age, oftentimes we share meals to get to know people. There, you only shared a meal with somebody if you already knew them and they were like you and they were of certain standard and certain level, all of that kind of stuff. And Jesus is breaking those rules. And Jesus did that a lot. So they're breaking those rules and he's hanging out with these folks. And then the religious people think, what are you doing? Don't be doing that. Now, I've already told you there's words of warning certainly in the Scriptures about folks and their influence that they could have on us. And there may be some times you need separation. And certainly to our youth in here and to our children, your parents get to help you have that call. You can thank me later, parents. But your parents get to help you have that call because there may be some, they say, sorry, you just can't hang around that person. And there's good reason. And so you need to understand that because you know, there may be folks like Jack. Jack came wandering in the church on a Wednesday night. Found this group of people, and they were about to do something, and they talked to him briefly, and they were pretty sure where I was, and they brought him out to meet with me. Brought him to meet me. And so Jack and I sat down and visited, and from a rather lengthy conversation, I'll condense it and tell you this. By the time we were done, Jack realized he was really hungry for a relationship with Jesus Christ, and he gave his life to Jesus. Now, I would like to tell you everything from that point on went smoothly and well in Jack's life, but it did not. Part of it was Jack, God had put a spirit in Jack. He got frustrated with the life he was living and the people he was being around. But those people were his friends. They were the ones he had. And he still wanted to be around his friends some, but yet he realized part of what was happening was that God was changing his life and he didn't need that stuff his friends were offering. But if he hung around them, he didn't have the ability to say no and to resist the temptations that came with being around those friends. And ultimately what Jack had to do was cut himself off from those friendships and get away. And then as he began to grow as a disciple and grow in his ability to follow Jesus, God would bring back a couple of those people and he could begin to have a positive influence on them instead of them influencing him. So there may be some times for some separation and you need to do those kinds of things. But what we also have to realize is we've got to invest our lives in people, and doing that for a kingdom purpose may mean that you're going to hang out with people that maybe otherwise you would think, I don't know that I want to hang around them. And you're going to invest yourself in them. And you may have to have some creative ways to invest yourself in them. You may not want to do some things with them, and that's okay, but what can you do and how can you do those things? Jesus' example teaches us that he even sought out and associated with the outcast as a part of his mission, and so should we if we're going to follow Jesus. We seek out those that maybe others would not associate with. And Jesus, not only he forgives them, and he openly associates with them. The Pharisees know, I mean, Luke doesn't tell us how the Pharisees knew, but boy, they knew, and probably pretty quickly, and maybe before the meal was over. But if we're gonna be able to live out 4x4 as a church, and you're gonna live out your 4, and you're gonna make a difference in people's lives, you're gonna have to be around some people that maybe you're not accustomed to hanging around, maybe finding ways to invest in them in ways that are good and helpful for them and helpful for you. And doing those things, and you can do that. But isolation from sinners is not the call of the disciple. Let me repeat that. Isolation from sinners is not the call of the disciple. Followers of Jesus should seek the lost and relate to them in a way that allows the offer of God's grace to be extended to them. Here's something you need to know. You're the best one to invest in your friends. Why? You may be the only one. You may be the only one. But you're the best person. You got a friendship with them. You've got a fellowship with them. Maybe it's not very deep. Maybe it's very shallow, but it's something. How might you build on that? Some of you, the people in your 4, you may have already done a significant amount of investing in their lives. And you've never thought of it in those terms. Nobody's ever put it in those terms. It may be that it's somebody you work with and you see them 4 or 5 days a week and you spend hours with them, and you've had lunches together, and you've taken breaks together, and you've worked on projects together, and share those things, and you share some life together, and you've actually done a significant amount of investing in their life already. Ask the Lord to use the investment you've already built into their lives for God's good. As you're praying for them 4 times a week, ask God, and you realize, man, God, I've already done some investing in their lives. Now can we turn it towards something that's really significant kingdom-wise? Use it intentionally to open a door for a conversation. Maybe it's you're going to make some new friends. Make some new friends. Do so in a way that fits you. Do so in a way that fits you. Who you are, the way you're wired, hobbies and skills and variety of things. Many of you will know the name Bill Hybels. Bill Hybels pastors Willow Creek Church in greater Chicago area. Bill has an interesting hobby. Bill likes to sail. Living on Lake Michigan, he can do that with some ease. And he likes to compete. And so he enters races and he needs a sailing team. He recruits guys who are not followers of Jesus. And my understanding is once he is able to lead them to the Lord and get them to a certain point, he kicks them off his team and he starts over. It's a way that fits him. I have a friend of mine that loves baseball. He takes, and he has some ability to do this, so he takes friends to baseball games. Maybe you're going, I can't do any of those things. What fits you? What is it that you can do and that you like to do and that you enjoy doing and you could share that with somebody else, or whatever it may be? You know, the Spirit of God will show you what those are, and He'll show you what they are depending on your friend. Depending on what happens with your friend and what's happening with that friend. But the mission of Jesus is not accomplished by us being separated from folks who don't know Jesus. Part of the challenge that we have in the church significantly growing by reaching people who don't know Jesus and inviting them to know Jesus and building relationships with them, all and so that there is this wonderful growth in the kingdom of God and not just the transfer of sheep from one local congregation to another, is too often we don't know lost people, and the ones we do, we don't think about building relationships with them so that we can share with this friend the most important thing we can share with them. I'm not trying to chide you. I'm just saying what the reality has been in the church far too often. Even in my own life at times. But yet we need to realize we're here for a mission, and that mission cannot be accomplished if we are isolated from the people who need the mission we are on. So you are the best person to invest in your friends. Some of my friends on here, matter of fact, most of them on here, I'll be honest, I'm still in early stages of getting to know them. I don't know a whole lot about them. And I don't know if there's anybody else that can speak into their lives something I can speak into them. I don't know. See, I've got a ways to go, and even investing in them so I can learn, even begin to know where they might be spiritually, because I don't know. It's going to be an interesting journey. Some of yours may be more interesting than others. But you're the person to invest in your friends. You know, the early church did this. Acts chapter 2, verse 47 says they were having favor with all the people. If you read the news or you listen to the news or whatever, quite honestly, it doesn't sound like Christians have a lot of favor with people right now, does it? They tend to not want to hear what we have to say. If we stand up for what we believe to be true from God's Word for us, we're often accused of being intolerant in this day and age. Man, it was tough in the first century. There weren't very many of them at all in this city and then in the whole world. But somehow or another, they lived so that they gained favor with the people around whom they lived. The church needs to do that now. And I believe one of the ways that can happen is if we allow God to use us to invest in people's lives for their good. You may never see them come to know Jesus, but if you invest in them for some good, and you, God can use you to move them along because for the period of time He's put you in their lives, or however long it takes, and some may come quickly and some it may take years. But there's a way for us to live so that we gain favor. That you can live in front of your friend so that your friend will know one Christian with whom they can identify, that they say, you know, maybe those Christian people aren't so bad. Look, Peter and John in Acts 3 headed to the temple. Said, you know, I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have, I'll give to you. Give what God has given you to be able to give to others. Some of you have a gift of hospitality. You can have people in your house and never break a sweat. It's just ease and graciousness about you, about how to do that. Do that. You know, some of you, you know, you've got a skill, and you know people in your realm of influence for whom if you share that skill, whether it's a computer, whether it's all kinds of things, technology types of things, stuff, and you could help them. With your, you know, because you could share your skill with them and you can help them, or whatever the case may be, you can do those things and give and share. You know, in the last big chunk of the book of Acts, we find the missionary enterprise that takes place in Paul and Barnabas, and then it goes on and on from there, going and investing in people. We have to invest in people. And we have to invest in people, and we have to be around them and care for them and see them with compassionate eyes and hearts, just like Jesus did and just like Jesus saw you before you were a believer. Wrong way. When we invest in our friends, there's potential for them to become a friend of Jesus. May not be real easy or smooth to get there. But man, ask you a question. Have you ever been the one that's been at that point with somebody when they're ready to give their heart to Jesus? And you got to be there when they sealed the deal? Isn't that contagious? Isn't that just fun? Or you've been a part of somebody's life and you weren't there at that moment, but you realized that you played a role in their life and you helped move them down the road? And help get them there. Isn't that fun? That's what we're talking about when we're talking about investing, you investing yourself in somebody else's life. To have your four friends that you're going to identify and that you will intercede for them four times a week. And trust me, there is a direct connection between the intercession and the investment. If you try to invest without the interceding, I think it's going to be a lot harder. But if you will intercede for them, God's going to give you some amazing ways to invest in their lives. Can you do that? When I look back at my life and relationships with folks, and before I would ever have described it like this, but I can look back and I can see that it's happened like that with people. Hey, it's just fun. That I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, which I've had the summer before I turned 6. And I get to introduce people I know and I love and I care about on this earth to my Jesus. And sometimes it's taken a while, and sometimes because of investment, and some of those I've built great relationships, and I'm not through investing in their lives. I find different ways, and part of that's in a discipleship process now, and we, you know, getting them to Jesus isn't the final point, that's really the beginning point. And going from there, I hope as you're sitting there this morning and you're the names of your four, or if you don't have a full four yet, maybe at this point it's just one and they're running through your mind and you're thinking, you know, I could do this with them and I could do this with them And if you've been in Sunday school, you know what the lessons are, and you know the next word is invite. And I get to invite them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow. And then those doors behind me are open and there's water back in there. And we're going to baptize them. And you're going to come stand up here by them as a friend who brought your friend and you invited them to Jesus and they said yes. And then you're going to help your friend find four. And you're going to help your friend learn how to do this. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. And it'll get really fun when you start to see it happen. And when we start to see it happen together. But it starts with each one of us saying, I'll identify four. I'll pray. I'll invest.